Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Starting February 1st, Spirit of Winter is taking over Springer Market Square with illuminated forest trails, skating, fire pits, and a brand new snow dome village offering cozy, heated spaces and treats from local businesses. This marks the second festival after a magical launch last year, bringing people together in the heart of the city during the winter months. Downtown Kingston events manager Sandy Griffiths sat down with CFRC to share more about this year's event. Last year's launch was truly magical. What did you take away from that first year, and what was the thought process going into planning this year?
Yeah, so Spirit of Winter is going to look a little different this year. But I think what we learned from last year is that people really are looking for things to do in the winter. People want to get out. They want to spend time with friends and family. And so we're giving them a great reason to do that. Last year, Spirit of Winter really revolved around the projected animation that we were able to do because of a grant. This year, not having that grant, we've sort of pivoted a little, but what remains is a really fun opportunity to get outside and enjoy winter and all that winter has to offer. It's not going anywhere anytime soon, so we might as well get outside and celebrate it.
And there's a long list of activities on the docket there. What's new this year and what can folks expect?
Yes, we have lots of fun things for folks to do. Our s'mores pop-ups were the star of the show last year, which was a little bit surprising, but so much fun. So people will still have an opportunity to hang out around a wood-burning fireplace. We'll have s'mores pop-ups. Of course, there's the skating, and we offer skate rentals for those of you who don't have skates at your disposal. Our Enchanted Forest is back again this year, and we were able to add a few fun elements to it. So, we have little surprises all through the forest, which are really fun to discover. And then new this year, we have our Snow Dome Village. So in the amphitheater of City Hall, which is sort of that area around the Market Street side of City Hall where you go down the steps, we've built what we're calling a Snow Dome Village. So we have three beautiful domes that are heated. And essentially what you can do is book a time with friends and family. It's a 60-minute time window where you can enjoy the dome. We have food add-ons, so you can have yummy treats and hot drinks from some of our local restaurants. There's a heater in there, Bluetooth speaker, blankets, pillows, card games. So it's really just a nice opportunity and sort of a unique experience in the winter.
Awesome. And I was going to mention, within that Snow Dome Village, we also have an art installation, kind of keeping up that tradition from last year. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about that.
Yes. So we have two fun art installations this year. Back in 2023, we did an event called Wawa Tag, working with our friends in the Indigenous community. And we had a number of icebergs in the fountain in Confederation Park. and they were lit to sort of mimic the northern lights. Some of those icebergs, you'll find them in Snow Dome Village. So we're bringing them back. And what we're also doing is we're giving people an opportunity who are either enjoying one of the snow domes or just wandering through the forest to hear again, or possibly for the first time, those indigenous stories that were part of Wawateg. So there'll be QR codes all over you can scan. And we have a number of indigenous stories told by indigenous storytellers, which I think just brings a nice element to the festival. And then our friends at KCFF, so the Kingston Canadian Film Festival, and their mascot for this year is Conrad the Raccoon. And Conrad is very adorable. He is an almost 14-foot raccoon. And we're so, so happy that he's visiting the Enchanted Forest throughout Spirit of Winter. So you'll see Conrad on all of the marketing materials for this year's film festival. But Conrad will be live on location in the square throughout February. And again, we're so thrilled that we have such a wonderful relationship with KCFF, as well as Raw Design, who initially designed Conrad. But he's a treat to see. I think he'll be a fun selfie station for sure.
Awesome. And how can folks enjoy Spirit of Winter, secure their spot in Snow Dome Village, all that good stuff?
Yes. So for all of the information on Spirit of Winter Enchanted, everyone can visit downtownkingston.ca. And that is really a great resource for everything to do with the festival, from the times for the s'mores pop-ups, for skate rental times and rates. And if you're interested in booking one of the snow domes, you can do that right on the site as well. Like I said, there are food add-ons, and we're really excited about that that experience this year. And some of the feedback that we're getting is really positive already. So I think it's just a fun way for people to get out of their house in February and enjoy all the good things about winter.
Awesome. And I was going to ask a little bit about that behind the scenes. You're in the midst of setup right now. How's it going? And what are you hearing from people as they're kind of walking by and seeing it all get put together?
Yes. So we started the setup on Monday. The snow domes sort of went in first, and then we started on the Enchanted Forest, which is all set up along Market Street. Of course, we get people who walk through all the time, and they're super excited. A lot of people who remember it from last year who were like, yay, I'm so glad this is back. It really does turn Market Street into a sort of magical place. But yeah, lots of curiosity about the snow domes, and definitely excitement that the forest is back. I'm going to head back there now, and we'll see what's happening, what people think of Conrad. Everything launches everything launches February 1st, which is Sunday evening, and it'll run through until the 16th, which is Family Day.
Once again, that was Sandy Griffiths with Downtown Kingston speaking about Spirit of Winter, the winter festival lighting up downtown from February 1st through to February 16th. More details, schedules, and booking information are available at downtownkingston.ca/spiritofwinter. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. This is your campus news here on Queen's Campus Beat on CFRC 101.9 FM or online at cfrc.ca. I'm Henry Walker, and here's your news. Our top story today comes from the AMS Student Government. In a special assembly held on January 28th, the Alma Mater Society officially revoked outgoing President Jaina Ammer's access to the presidential credit card for the remainder of her term. The decision followed a review of credit card spending since the start of Ammer's term, covering 154 transactions totaling over $27,000. While Ammer has repaid $749.70, including roughly $377 in personal charges, the move reflects growing concern among AMS directors about financial oversight and accountability. In addition, to the card restrictions, the AMS Assembly also directed that credit card statements be released publicly, a push for transparency students are watching closely. Stay tuned for how this situation affects student trust and governments over the next coming months. In student society news, the Engineering Society, ENGSOC, wrapped up its executive elections earlier this week, with new leaders elected to 5 of the 10 positions. About 50 students were present for the results, reflecting strong engagement from the engineering community. These newly elected executives are expected to take office soon and will play key roles in planning, academic support, events, and student advocacy for engineers across campus. Meanwhile, in the residence communities, conversations about student life continue. Earlier this week, several residence society, ResSoc, candidates shared their platforms during a debate in Victoria Hall, Upper Commons, focusing on advocacy and support for students living on campus. Candidates highlighted priorities such as improving communication between residence leadership and university administration, strengthening community programming, and ensuring that student voices are heard when residence policies are discussed. With ResSoc elections underway, many first-year and upper-year residents are already talking about the issues that matter most to them this term. In student government news, the Alma Mater Society has a new executive team for the 2026-27 academic year. Drayden George, a third-year arts and science student, was elected president in the recent AMS elections held online and announced on January 31st. George won with a 51.2% of the presidential vote over fellow candidate Alex MacArthur, while 7.5% of voters choose none of the above. Alongside George, Avery Papoulidis was elected vice president of operations. Edward Tsai became the vice president, university affairs, both running unopposed. However, voter turnout remained low overall, with just 16.1% of eligible undergraduate candidates casting ballots in this academic year election, down from past years and continuing a trend of limited engagement with AMS elections. Among those who voted, slightly more than half backed George for president. It's worth noting that AMS executives are paid full salaries for their years in office. According to the AMS reports, its executive team receives about $49,331 annually, combining a base salary of around $44,846 with employed-related benefits, though these roles often require well over 40 hours of work per week without overtime pay. This has been your Queen's Campus Beat with me, Henry. Thank you for listening.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the week. Monday, February 2nd, daytime high of -7, feeling closer to -8, dropping down to -12 overnight. Tuesday, February 3rd, daytime high of -2 degrees, but with the wind chill and a bit of snow, it's going to feel closer to -10, dropping down to -13 overnight. Wednesday, February 4th, daytime high of -5 with a mix of sun and cloud, feeling closer to -8, dropping down to -14 overnight. Thursday, February 5th, daytime high of -8 with 2 to 4 centimeters of snow in the forecast, feeling closer to -11. Friday, February 6th, daytime high of -3 with a crippling overnight low of -21. A little bit of snow in the forecast as well. We've got a very chilly weekend in store. Saturday, February 7th, daytime high of -17, but feeling closer to -32 degrees. Take care of each other. That is a frigid, killer cold evening. Sunday, February 8th, daytime high of -15, feeling closer to -26. And we get a slight warm-up Monday, February 9th, daytime high of -11, feeling closer to -10. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Kingston's overnight winter parking ban is in effect for the months of January and February, which prohibits any and all overnight street parking between the hours of 12 a.m. and 7 a.m. Restrictions will loosen on March 1st. From that point on, for the rest of March, overnight street parking is only banned if the weather conditions require it. And with no relevant road closures to report, that's it for your City of Kingston traffic report for this week.
Do you prefer coffee or tea?
I'm more of a tea kind of person, and I love to try new teas, so if you've got a new one, send it my way. Happy Monday, everyone. It's Gigi, CFRC's newest intern, and you're listening to What's Live at 5 on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up on this segment, I got K-Town's hottest concert and event calendars for the week, starting with events. On Monday, February 2nd, educate yourself at Black History's and Futures Month Open House, a drop-in opportunity to connect, reflect, and celebrate the contributions and ongoing impact of Black communities at Queens and beyond. Light refreshments will also be available. Join at Robert Sutherland Hall at 1 o'clock p.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. Celebrate the creativity of our artists in residence, including paintings and kinetic sculptures at the 2025 Tet Artist Residency Showcase at the Tet Center at 10 a.m. until 5 o'clock p.m. If you're like me and enjoy Mr. Ken Jennings, I've got the next best thing, Trivia Night at the Brass Pub at 8 o'clock p.m. Do you know your tenant rights? On Tuesday, February 3rd, a Queens legal aide will be hosting a virtual presentation online at 6 o'clock p.m. until 7:30 p.m. Protect your peace and know your rights. Catch the Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour at Slush Puppy Place at 7 o'clock p.m. Fun fact, I once spun a basketball on my index finger. It was very brief, but it happened. Feeling like singing? Join Fiercely OK Song Circles at the Kingston Community House at 6:30 p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. No experience required. But if soloing is more your thing, come show us what you've got at the open mic at Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar from 8 o'clock p.m. until 11 o'clock p.m. Moving on to Wednesday, February 4th, play some board games at Something in the Water Brewing Company at 5 p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. What's your favorite kind of wings? Personally, I like a good Cajun wing, but hey, Wings and Tunes, hosting an open mic with Sean McCullough and friends at the Cove Inn at 5 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. DJ Great White will be playing anything from 60s, 70s, 80s, soft rock, soul, R&B, and new wave pop. If that's your vibe, join him at the Hotel Wolf Island at 4 o'clock p.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. And, of course, Wednesday's karaoke at the Mansion at 9 o'clock p.m. On Thursday, February 5th, if you're looking to meet new people and an early weekend unwinding, head to the weekly urban music social at The Loft at La Vida Bistro Bar and social at 9:30 p.m. Tyler Barristow will also be performing acoustic covers of classic hits at the Lakeside Bar and Grill at 7 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. Finally, my favorite time of the week, on Friday, February 6th, the Kingston Frontenacs will be playing the Owen Sound Attack at Slush Puppy Place at 7:05 p.m. Bring your friends and let them know, go Fronts, go. After that, if you still got some voice left in you, make your way to Friday Night Karaoke at The Buckle at 9 o'clock p.m. Saturday, February 7th is the Kingston Winter Antique Show, the perfect event for vintage finds and timeless collectibles. Discover one-of-a-kind pieces at the Portsmouth Olympic Harbor at 10 a.m. until 5 o'clock p.m. Also on Saturday, catch Alex Cuba live at the Spire at 7:30 p.m. Sunday, February 8th, the Kingston Frontenacs are back at it again versus the Brantford Bulldogs. Don't miss out, Slush Puppy Place at 2:05 p.m. Swing by the Memorial Center Farmers Market at the Kingston Memorial Center grounds at 9 a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. for fresh foods and to show your support to local vendors. And last but definitely not the least, Sunday Funday, Chicken Pickin' at the Cove Inn at 1 o'clock p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Next up is our concerts calendar. On Monday, February 2nd, the Morning Doves will be performing at Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar. Catch them from 8 o'clock p.m. until 11 o'clock p.m. The Real Out Queer Film Festival will also be happening on Monday, featuring Sapphic Space Shorts Program at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, Central Branch at 5:50 p.m. until 7:50 p.m. If you're looking to attend another Real Out event, you're in luck. On Tuesday, February 3rd, catch Real Out Queer Film Festival, an evening with Shauna Dempsey and Lori Millen at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library Central Branch at 6 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. On Wednesday, February 4th, ABBA Mania, an all-Canadian live band that consists of studio musicians with violins and the Chicago Transit Horn section, will be in town. Also on the same show is Night Fever as the Bee Gees. With all the high harmonies and stage presence of the Bee Gees, they will be performing songs such as Jive Talking, To Love Somebody, Stayin' Alive, and You Should Be Dancing, plus many more. Catch them live at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. The Open Stage Drag Show welcomes all new and veteran drag performers at the Grad Club from 8 o'clock p.m. to 10:30 p.m. And don't miss Christopher Jackson at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Calling out my dentist and orthodontist friends, on Thursday, February 5th, Room Full of Teeth, a vocal band dedicated to reimagining the expressive potential of the human voice. They were recognized at the 66th Grammy Awards in 2024, winning Best Chamber Music Small Ensemble Performance for Rough Magic. Catch them at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts at 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., and don't worry, cavities are accepted. Clear Breeze will be performing instruments, groove-oriented jazz, bossa nova classics, and more at the Hotel Wolf Island at 6 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Also on Thursday, Donnie Cooper at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. On Friday, February 6th, enjoy an evening with Kelly Lee Evans, Juno Award-winning singer-songwriter, with heartfelt blues, pop, and jazz at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. But if you're more into indie music, I've got you covered. Singer-songwriters Sophie Ogilvy and Anthea Fever will be performing at Hotel Wolf Island at 7:30 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Lastly, we've got Nolan Hubbard at the Lakeside Bar and Grill at 7 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. On Saturday, February 7th, bring your maracas for Fiesta Mexicana, Los Paisanos Mariachi Band at the Cove Inn at 8 o'clock p.m. to 10:20 p.m. The Shitty Beatles, who aren't actually shitty, will be at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. And Sam Roberts Band will be performing at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. And lastly, on Sunday, February 8th, head to the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts for Bach and Beethoven at 2:30 p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. No matter what you're into this week, music, food, dancing, or just pretending you have your life together, I've got you covered. For more details on all these events, check out cfrc.ca or lock in right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to Gigi on CFRC Radio, and from me to you, have the best week ever, be safe, be kind, and I'll catch you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a selection from Juno-nominated Maple Blues Award-winning local artist Miss Emily's new album, The Medicine, released on November 7th. Produced by Grammy winner Colin Linden, the album blends soul, blues, and roots with an all-star lineup, including players from Bob Dylan and Keb Moe's bands. Pairing her thunderous voice with songs of truth and resilience, Miss Emily channels two decades of raw experience into music that heals and uplifts. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on the Instagram. In the meantime, stream The Medicine by Miss Emily on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Stand Together, Band Together. Here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Band together. souls in the eyes of time. It takes more than one star to light that sky. Stand together, band together.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9. Join your host, Arrow McCauley, for a free-flow show where words, ideas, and music mingle. Each week, we sit down with one of the local authors and artists leading writing workshops through the Word Labs program. They'll share their stories, their insights, maybe even a few secrets of their craft. Get your pens ready. After the chat, you'll get writing prompts to stretch your imagination, all set to a soundscape designed to help you focus, relax, and create.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, your campus community radio station, broadcasting to you since 1922.
Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in. This is edition 302. And on the broadcast this week, I'm going to be sharing a conversation with composer and musician William Ryan Furch. It was really a pleasure to speak with William about his work, particularly in documentary cinema. As an artist based in California, I think he has done magnificent work, of course, musically, but also at the intersections of documentary film storytelling and musical work. Of course, music plays a central role in depicting the emotive and political landscape of documentary cinema. And in a time of great political upheaval, I think it can be meaningful to unpack the various elements that go into documentary cinema, including music. William is a conscious and thoughtful artist, and I think offers a lot of insight into the role of musicians in approaching a very critical medium today, documentary cinema. So here's my conversation today with William Ryan Furch for Free City Radio.
My name's William Ryan Furch, and as you mentioned, I do work primarily in music for films, especially documentary films, most of which deal with geopolitical, social issues, and that is a huge part of what kind of feeds the curiosity about different landscapes and kind of helps cultivate curiosity that leads me into a lot of different rabbit holes of kinds of music, influences of music, that it does become really reflective of an imagined space, you know, because I am for the most part working in my studio here in the Northern Bay area of California, and so just 500 feet out my backyard, you know, I'm spending most of my days inserted or imported into these different worlds, films, you know, made all around the world. And that's a wonderful impetus for me making my non-commissioned work, creating albums, of just being flooded with all these different ideas, and that carries me into just stuff that you just can't fit into a film or fit into so often for film music. It's these short, tight little containers of, you know, 2 minutes or less that a cue gets to make, and it's not really ample space to to do all the ideas that these films and these stories feed into.
This is an opportunity to think about the emotional impact of music and film, which I think is huge. I mean, just looking on your page briefly, WilliamRyanFurch.com, you can just see the magnitude of, just in terms of numbers, of the different films that you've created music for. It's obviously super important. I mean, within dramatic films, we know its role. But in the last two decades, there's been this rise in documentary film and its role also in shaping political and social conversations and participating in debates. I'm sure you're thinking of all that when you're sort of creating for documentary. Can you just talk a bit about kind of how this has become a focus of your work, and like, how do you interact with these stories when you're, you know, working on a film, you know, whether it's about refugees, you know, who are, you know, struggling to find a safe place. I know you've worked on some projects about the refugee experience, you know, and I've also noticed how diverse the work is. Maybe just talk about your reflections on the role of music and documentary film.
You know, I've gotten into music for film really kind of strictly in narrative films initially. But when I moved to the Bay Area, the first contact I made in the area was with John Else, who had started the School of Journalism at University of California, Berkeley. And he is kind of a giant of this form of verite filmmaking in the U.S. And the numbers of filmmakers, Pete Nix, who had done The Waiting Room, The Force, who's been, you know, a very dear friend and incredibly influential filmmaker in my life, Megan Mylan, who's made just so many tremendous films, often looking at, you know, these filmmakers putting, not just extracting stories or making poverty porn or just this kind of sensationalized, you know, look. It's like going into communities and places that where there really needs to be exposure for the struggle or the injustices that are affecting a region, and, you know, the realization of that this is just a tiny, that you are a visitor in this world, and what you can share of the story is but a tiny little window, but how you hold that little bit of access, the responsibility that you have to the people that have entrusted you to tell these stories, people that take that onus upon themselves to carry that like a little candle against a windstorm. You know, you have to protect the integrity of the trust and the experience of the people that you're helping document their story. And it was just completely life-changing for me to be exposed to this kind of journalistic integrity, people that they just so effortlessly slot into a position of humility, of that to make a good film, to tell even a small story well, takes an amount of surrender that is significant. And you don't just stop caring about the people that you're documenting after the film is done. This is a, when you are in the trenches and you get exposed to these stories, these injustices, whatever the film is about, you carry these people in your heart. And I'm just, you know, working in music, oftentimes I'm with a film for just the last 2-3 months of its production. And oftentimes my role, in addition to helping to make a sonic language that feels like it's an honest representation of both the environmental experience, but the POV, the internal experience, like understanding what makes everyone tick in the film, you know, like really trying to not just like empathize, but like just watch so many extra hours of B-roll, or just like to, what can you do to submerge yourself into this experience? But in addition to just making the music work, it's like I feel like the energy and the curiosity that you come in a post-production phase for a film is so vital, because it has to serve as a catalyst for people that have sometimes lived with these films for over a decade, that, you know, with often very, very little, you know, money, people just like risking everything to make these films and tell these stories, because it feels so vital to share that I have to come in with a curiosity and a degree of circumspection of that I've not been in close proximity with a story. It's new to me, and I'm about to embark on a journey of watching this and digesting it for hundreds of thousands of hours. So I have to be an injection of joy and curiosity for the film, and that it's so different from working in fiction film, where you have a script way ahead of time, you've got stills, you've had just to, for a film to be made in a fiction space, it takes so much more. You know, I could score many films that I've done that are narrative before even seeing any picture, because you really do have of an idea of the cadence of how things are going to go. With a documentary, you know, you are dealing with little small micro wrangled units of chaos. and the way that people they communicate on film. You know, you can have such wide variance, people that really just, they put a camera in front of them and they come alive. And it's like, you know, all of a sudden it's like it's accessing a part of their ego that is not accessible in daily life. And then some people who just, it has to be slowly teased out because they're so aware of the presence of the camera. You feel all of this variance. And so it's not a tidy written script of that, you know, that this point of an idea being crystallized is going to come on this beat. Things are run on sentences. And so the music is such, I love it because the shape of the music that you end up composing for it has this irregularity baked into it. Things that meter and ways of writing, you can't just like have everything be these perfectly square units at one tempo fits everything, because you're working with little microcosms of slices of reality. And even the most skillful editors, you're working with this dance of compromise. And I love that. And I love that challenge musically. I've always been a musician that I never recorded to a click. You know, I came up making music in an age of having, if I wanted to multi-track or do anything, I had, I learned to record on my dad's old four-track reel-to-reels. So bouncing things down, and these are just two tracks. So if I wanted to make four tracks, I'd have to sum everything down, bounce, splice tape, do all, it's like, so I'm really comfortable working in things being just by feel, listening for the little, like, and leaning into the glitches and leaning into the accidents, because you're working with a super finite thing. So
that sensitivity, I think, also speaks to a sort of interest in these stories. I mean, a lot of the documentaries that you're engaging with are not about easy topics, whether it's like frontline healthcare workers or people working with displaced communities, refugee experiences. I'm curious to hear your perspective as a musician about how, at this time of really intense political violence in the United States, like what role do you think? Feel that documentary films play? What's your reflections on that at this time?
I mean, there's never been I think a more important time for I mean, you just you see all over the world what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Sudan. It's just like, you know, the biggest threat to the powers that be, people that wish to use brutality, intimidation, to squash hope, is to make people feel profoundly alone. And in this age of hyper connectivity with the digital spheres, to make so much noise, so much. To basically cloud the texture of verisimilitude of like that can you actually, what you see, is it actually real? You know, the weapons of those that wish to crush our hope and leave us into a cycle of disengagement and apathy. You know, unfettered humanity and the ways in which that really good documentary filmmaking can connect us to the world. It is an enemy of those that wish to control. And also, on the flip side of it, manipulative filmmaking is a weapon too. So, I really choose carefully to work with people that it's beyond the realm of commerce of making a film or lily padding to the next opportunity. It's like people telling these stories because they have to. They have to, and they would do so by themselves. And whether or not they have a big production studio or if it's them alone in their bedroom editing, you know, taking out loans or whatever, living off of credit card debt to make it, you know, it doesn't matter to me. It's like the story is what pulls me in, and that the sense of integrity of that, like, you have to do right by the people that are sharing the story with you. It's a scary time for documentary filmmaking. You know, some of the most talented human beings I know right now, Stefan, they just have not shot things in 4 or 5 months. ITVS, which is a huge supporter of independent documentary filmmaking, has been largely defunded. PBS, you know, being their federal funding being slashed. A lot of the false flag corporate banners that have bolstered and supported documentary filmmakers. There was a boom of opportunities for documentary filmmakers, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, probably 6 years ago now at this point. And it was a bubble, and it was bolstered by a lot of corporations saying, it's like, oh, we see value in this branded content, all of these things. And so a lot of these filmmakers would be able to, you know, help support their next piece of filmmaking by doing, you know, kind of innocuous verite bits that tell a story that it's like, you know, a corporation gets to do a little bit of philanthropy and have it well documented. But I see a lot of these things collapsing, and you know, a lot of massive amounts of furloughs of where people that have these skills as exquisite shooters and documentary filmmakers, those jobs are shrinking. So I really do fear for a lot of journalists. And it's so important that whatever the next iteration of how journalists can support themselves, how filmmakers making challenging, complex, social issue-driven films, whatever the new frontier for it is that it's a sort of kind of populist, community-based sort of circling around and honoring the value of people that are willing to frontline themselves in these issues. It just has to be thought of as a true invaluable public good, because I really worry for the state of journalism, of and that's why you see these people with camera being targeted. And I mean, just the number of journalists killed in 2025 alone in Gaza is just, it should really have anyone that thinks of themselves as a storyteller, as a journalist, they should just be utterly enraged and disgusted. And that, I don't see that, is really made me question a lot of what is it the core of, like, you know, have people gotten lost really, really that far, that this doesn't just set off all the alarms?
I mean, it's a really, like, critical moment in terms of this sort of direct targeting of media makers and journalists in a space like Gaza, in Palestine, or also in Sudan. You mentioned that. But also people are trying to use those tools to sound the alarm to the world. Then in the U.S. context, you see this attack on public media that you mentioned, which I think is definitely going to change the landscape of how these types of stories are shared. And, you know, I think that this point about the attack on public media in the U.S., I don't know if people understand how that filters down and impacts, you know, creative communities, like how much, you know, social progress in the United States is inherently historically connected to having public media. You know, I think it'd be interesting for people to hear your thoughts on that.
So from the window that I can really, I have a number of friends, you know, I'm coming up on 15 years now of volunteering at the UC Berkeley School of Journalism, helping students with music, music law, many facets of what it takes to be able to get music for, you know, kind of micro budget documentary films. And so I've seen a lot of journalists from all over the world come to this program, come through Stanford, come through, it's just my particular community in the Bay Area. But a tremendous number of the people I've worked with, would be considered extraordinary students, of people in their, oftentimes in their 30s, sometimes 40s, that have been on a beat, that have done the gruntiest and most thankless kind of journalism for years and years and years and years, It's kind of incredible to me how exceptional so many of these people are and what value they hold onto exceptional degree of research and merit in merit in actually truth seeking. And if you even step foot into the disgusting kind of tepid waters of social media and the way that language of sort of inciting rage and disdain and hatred for those that put so much on the line and invest so much of themselves in seeking the truth. And again, there are so many bad faith actors, you know. I mean, you know, the conflict of interest that's been allowed to steep in Western journalism because of shadow money, basically. It's unreal, the conflict of interest that's allowed to exist in media channels. But that is just a very, very loud surface populace of, I wouldn't even consider those people journalists. You know, there are actors, there are propagandists, there are, and for them to be, you know, considered journalists when there are, you know, millions of people that what they put, the veracity, encourage that they show is they're indefatigable, they're inexhaustible will to seek truth, and those are the people I see really, really fucking struggling. it feels pretty bleak, to be honest with you. I know that things course correct, but it does feel like there is two things happening that independent journalism had to make some strange bedfellows to subsist in this kind of stage of late capitalism, and I feels like a lot of, you know, like, if you take money from Amazon or any of these places that it's just like, oh, we want to have a separate wing of all of these things, you know, or people in the podcast space doing any sort of left-leaning or non your non-compatible kind of neoliberal centrist material, you know, if they would even be platformed on something like that, it would feel like this outlier. And it's, oh, wow, this is really incredible. This seems like they actually do intend to not meddle in the storytelling. But I'm seeing a lot of those kind of promises be broken with no consequence now. And a lot of these storytellers are really relying on crowdfunding, Substack. It feels crazy to me. It feels crazy to me that people that really, like, they represent the finest in exerting empathy and really taking risk for their fellow man, that to have to grovel along with people that are unscrupulous. So I wish I had a clearer read of how things can get better. But I just do know that you see in Gaza what these people that have continued to film, and continue pushing and working when it's like they see their mothers, their children being slaughtered, and they still stand in front of that camera. And it's just like, if in those conditions people can keep fighting and being a voice, then, you know, here in the United States, it's just like, fuck, we should be able to power through anything. You know, it's like so I just think people will find a way to tap into a greater courage, and there will be some clarity. A
couple things on what you mentioned. The first is just responding to what you just said, which is this clamping down that we've seen since October 2023, where, like, people who are maybe lifted, due to very meaningful work within the cultural sphere or within documentary film, ascending to certain positions in museums or universities, this is under attack in the United States, this sort of representation. And on a sort of corporate side of that, especially in museums, at least here in Canada, some who have, like, some corporate funding, people have just been removed from their positions, Indigenous folks, Black voices who weren't silent about Palestine. You know, there's examples in Toronto, the Art Gallery of Ontario, a very important cultural space in Canada. There's many examples. And so it's this moment where it seems like what you're describing, Will, about looking to more extreme contexts and people still finding a way to tell their stories is important. Having your take as a musician who's really tuned into the emotional side of how stories are shared in films, and that really comes through in your compositions, both as a solo artist on your albums, tuned into the emotional state of the world, but in your work for films, I can really hear the empathy in what you create. So it's lovely to have your thoughts today.
That was a conversation with William Ryan Furch. I encourage you to look up William's work. Thanks for the conversation. I'm Stefan Christoff, and this has been another edition of Free City Radio. We broadcast weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., on CGLO 1690 a.m. also in Montreal on Wednesdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m., on CFRC